This segment will focus on water safety, not as in swimming in it, but drinking, eating, cooking, and utilizing it for anything that will come in contact with your skin or you be utilized in cooking and other things. So today there was a boil water advisory issued for Trenton, parts of Trenton, New Jersey, the capital of New Jersey, the Garden State. Unfortunately, Trenton is far from a garden area. That said, when I went to check in on it and see exactly what the cause of this boil advisory was, I found a conundrum of all kinds of doublespeak, politically motivated, obviously, and governmental doublespeak that is wrapped around CYA, ostensibly. So while they are being paid to provide you water that is safe to drink, and 99.9% of people who live in anywhere in the United States, for that matter, pretty much, unless they're on well water, basically assumes that they go to the tap, they turn on the tap, and water comes out. That water is safe. They can drink it, put it in their eyes, put it in their body, cook with it, etc., and have no concern about ill effects. This, by the way, is far from true around the world. And if you Google the term boiling water or boil water advisory, you'll find what I did, which was pretty stunning. There were 4.1300, so that's 4,130,000 results came back in 0.72 seconds on Google. And that was of listings of all boil water advisories around the United States that were listed and tracked in Google. Now, of course, some of them go back several years, but this will give you a handle on how often that this problem happens. Are you aware that this happens? How would you know that this happens so that you can do something about it? So this is, again, I constantly try to bring people back around to this point. Lots of preppers especially love the idea of doomsday. They're going to create this doomsday thing. They're going to hunker down and they're going to be the lone survivor that's going to make them be the king of the mountain. This is not the way it's going to work. The problem is hundreds of thousands of people within these service areas that are being provided water are being affected, and the long-term health effects are stunning. Because it's not something like smoking a cigarette or shooting up something or working in a place where you have 100 people all have the exact same disease at the same time and it becomes completely and irrevocably obvious that they were dying as a result of, say, asbestos or some other chemical effect that they have been in contact with. In this situation, there are disparate people in different areas living different lives, having different jobs, but they share a common thing, which is that they all draw their water from that area. So let me go into a little picture of what I found. So I looked online. I went to the Trenton Water Works website and I looked to see what the official advisory was. And it said that until further notice that people about 35,000 people who live from the Delaware River to Prospect Street and Bellevue Avenue to Prospect Street to Pennington Ave to Purry Street to South Lincoln Ave, to Liberty Street, and Duck Island. Now, for those of you who don't live in that area, that's a pretty good hunk size area along the Delaware River that cuts through along the edge of Trenton and Route 29. So This is significant. 35,000 people who this morning woke up, turned on the tap, made their tea, made their coffee, cooked, drank, brushed their teeth, maybe took a shower, gargled in the shower, opened their eyes in the water, and all of those areas are affected now by that. And those people, depending on whether they took a hot shower, all these things come together to represent a very big problem. So technically, according to the most recent posting at 11:25 p.m., they released information saying, and I quote, Trenton Water Works on Tuesday announced there was a potential or actual threat to the water quality. The mayor said there is a technical issue at the city's water treatment plant on Monday that caused chlorine levels to drop temporarily. The boil water advisory remains in effect until repairs are made. And then so forth, it goes on. Customers are also advised not to swallow water while showering or bathing. Rinse hand-washed dishes with a diluted bleach solution, or clean them in a dishwasher using hot and dry cycles. Do not provide pets with drinking water that has not been boiled and cooled. So, we can begin to learn some things from this statement. The first part of what we learn from this statement is what I asked when I called them on the telephone and called their office directly to ask them for more information. The girl was very courteous who answered the phone, and she gave me obviously she was reading her response, which was, our official statement is that there is no specifics on what the problem is. But there is a boil-only requirement advisory. So my question was very simple to her. I said, look, if I'm going to tell people what to do, I need to know, is this biological threat or is this a VOC, a volatile organic or inorganic chemical threat? To which she repeated the same statement, saying that that was their official statement. And I had no interest in getting her in trouble, so I wasn't going to give her a hard time and push it any further. That said, now, hours later, we find embedded in this wiggle worm response, quote, announced there's a potential or actual threat. What's that? It's either a threat or it's not a threat. So what we get is that they don't want to even be specific enough to protect you or give you the information that you need to protect yourself. This doesn't make them evil, like many people will jump out and say. This makes them human. This is the ultimate game of CYA. Do I want to throw myself under the bus? No. So I'm going to give you as little as possible so you can't use it against me later on and get me fired because I didn't, or someone under me who I never even met didn't do their job, or some component failed, etc., etc. Again, as always, when we talk about survival, not prepping, but real preparedness, real thoughtful mindset of survival and self-reliance, what we need to recognize is, as I've said plenty of times before, as my friend in Japan used to say to me, William-san, in Japan, we fix problem, not blame. You American, you waste so much time fixing blame, you never fix problem. Don't waste your time trying to fix blame. This is what they do all day long, every day on the news. They want to point a finger at somebody so they have the boogeyman. And then they out the boogeyman so that it gets another day's worth of news and you tuning in to listen. This is not what you should be doing. You should be saying to yourself, okay, I did not know. And I have just taken a shower. So let's pick this apart for a second. If you go into the water say, into a lake or a stream, and it has Giardia and Cryptosporidium in it, which almost every standing body of water in the world does at this point, that means it has been contaminated with some form of fecal matter, and in that fecal matter, there are protozoa that will attack you and your body. And because you spend most of your life drinking water that comes from a tap somewhere that has chlorine or chlorinamide or some version thereof in it, you have killed most of the bacterium and the gut flora that is in your body that is there to protect your body from those bad bacterium. There is no way to kill Cryptosporidium unless you get it to 248 degrees to get 100% of it out. As you know, boiling water only brings it to 212 degrees. This is why all of my regular students carry a small pressure cooker in their kit when they're on the move, because they can take that, make a fire, put several quarts of water, depending upon the size of it, into the pressure cooker, run the pressure cooker for 15 minutes, take it out, cool it, and voila, you have clean, safe water. Here's the other part of it. I went on to CDC's website to make sure that I was most current with what the systems are and what they advise, and I looked to see. And let me just give you a little feel for the protection issues in the different types of filtration, because a lot of preppers and a lot of hikers like to use handheld portable filtration units. So let's look at that for a moment. So filtration, this comes right from the CDC's website. I'm going to put this on the page for today's show so that you can actually look at their chart, and I'm going to give you a few other references also on there. But let's talk about this for a second. So filtration, there are three basic recognized versions: microfiltration, ultrafiltration, and nanofiltration. So microfiltration will reasonably remove microfiltration, Cryptosporidium and Giardia up to 74%. Bacteria, only about 50%. Viruses, Hep A, norovirus, rotavirus, it fails. Chemicals, it fails. Ultrafiltration, it will do the protozoa and the bacteria up to 74%, but it will not succeed 100% at viruses. It gets about half of them, and it will slightly take about 20% out in the chemical side. Nanofiltration will do most of the viruses, most of the bacteria, most of the protozoa, and knock it down about 74%, and a few of the chemicals. And microfiltration, let me detail this a little more, has a pore size of roughly 0.1, so that's 0.1 microns. The problem is, they in a filter that is normally sold and says it's 0.1, unless you're getting a Sawyer, they will not guarantee an absolute micron rating. So according to the CDC, they say that a 0.1 micron means pore size ranges vary by filter from 0.05 micron to 5 micron. That's a pretty significant difference. 5 micron. Why are we calling that a 0.1 if it's a 5 micron? And this comes to an important point. You must look at filtration units that guarantee an absolute pore size. I have only found two in the world that I have ever dealt with who give an absolute pore size, and that's where you want to be. An ultrafiltration filter has a pore size of approximately 0.01, and in their tests, they found that their actual micron rating varied between 0.001 microns and 0.05 microns. Much better. Molecular weight cutoff of 13,000 to 200,000 Daltons. So that's an ultra filter, and they remove particles based on size, weight, and the charge, whether it's a negative or a positive ion charge in that contamination. A nanofilter has a pore size of approximately 0.001, and they found that the based by filter that they ran between 0.008 microns and 0.01 micron. So this is important. Why? I know this sounds like gibberish. You can go back and play it back again so you can get it. I'm going to have this chart up. Look in the yellow area below the main chart, and you'll see this all broken down. This is really important because if you are taking a carbon filter out into the elements and you think that you can safely drink water out of a stream, you are sadly mistaken. All of these tests that they did in this testing system and this chart were based upon filtering water that came from the tap. Why does this matter? Because that's based upon the premise that the tap water already met minimum government requirements for being filtered and cleaned. So they're filtering filtered water. This is really, really important. So when we look at reverse osmosis, it has a pore size of approximately 0.0001 microns. Filtration of contaminants depends highly on the amount of contaminant in the water, size of the contaminant particle, and the charge of the contaminant particle. Depending on the household's water needs, pre-treatment before filtration includes and is recommended the addition of coagulants, powdered activated carbon, adjustments in pH of chlorine and concentrations, and pre-treatment before it gets to an RO membrane. If you take this and drill down into this information into English, common English, we'll say, what this means to you is that they're saying that you need to filter water that comes out of your tap. So first, we'll peel that apart and say, so again, that means that the water that's coming out of your tap, even though it meets minimum government restrictions and regulations, is not really considered safe for you to drink. It's considered within reasonable limits of what can be done. And this is a critical, critical piece of the pie. Remember, you have to be a realist. There are so many people now, and there's so much demand for water that they have to deliver you water. What would you do without it? You'd die. So they say, well, this is the best we can do, and the government and the regulatory commissions come together and say, hey, are you going to tell them you go drink out of a puddle, and then they're going to get the worst water, or are you going to tell them, well, we've done the best we can, that's what we did, and deal with it? That's the question. So when you understand that that's how this game is played, you also understand that this is a warning sign to you. They are telling you something if you read between the lines, which is even when your water system that is providing you water, whether it's Trenton Works or Williamstown Works or New York City Public Works or wherever, you are expecting that you're getting quality water that you can just turn on the tap, put it in your mouth, wash your eyes out with it, and you're good to go. This is not the case. You must take control, take charge of your own situation, because this is all about your health. By the time they recognize that the water being provided through the local water commission in Gibbsboro, New Jersey, back in the 80s, was so contaminated with lead and a couple of hundred other contaminants that came from dumping from two companies that were dumping because no one knew that it was a problem way before there were laws about it. The companies were so far gone that their buildings had disintegrated and fallen over. The walls had fallen over and collapsed around a lake that it was based around, that they were drawing their water from for use for the business in the 40s and 50s. They were long gone. But in the 80s, people were dying at a rate of over 250 a year at one point from pancreatic cancer. And it was traced straight back to that from heavy metals that were dumped into the ground and in the water. There was chromium and there were sulfates and all kinds of other toxins that had gone into that water and had leached into the ground. It was actually leaching through the pipes that brought the water to the people in their homes. All that time, the people that lived there were being slowly poisoned and they had no idea. Why? Because they trusted, or they were too lazy, because let's face it, the way we live today, life is simple. You don't have to do what people did in the old days and have to worry about finding water and sourcing water and what to do with your excrement when you let it go and so forth. You didn't care about that. There were not that many people. People would dig a hole, poop, cover it up, move the outhouse a little further, and that was that. You were good to go. Now we know so much more about what happens. Why is it that we just blindly trust? The answer, in my opinion, is because people don't want to be bothered. It's so complicated and it's so stressful for them to think that they actually have to care about it. So this is what the bottled water industry has been built on. And then you come back around and find out that the bottled water industry, when they're tested, that their water is not coming up safe either in regular tests. It's really scary. And when you look at the tests and what have happened, the FDA does the bottled water testing over and over every month. They find that bottled water that's being sold has failed testing, because in 2009, the New York Times wrote up an article about the fact that there were fewer and fewer regulations for bottled water, and that the GAO, the Government Accounting Office, looked and said that the FDA regulates bottled water as a food and cannot require certified lab testing or violation reporting. So when you go out to go buy a case of bottled water, remember a couple of things. Go look on the FDA and the EPA's website and see what they say if you keep that bottled water case for over 90 days. They tell you that it is not safe and it's considered toxic because the toluene in the plastic, the peat plastic, the clear plastic, not the milky plastic, that is HDPE, it's much safer. In the peat bottles, the clear plastic bottles that they come in, will leach so much toxin into the water that after 90 days, the FDA declares it unsafe. That's why they started putting expiration dates on the water. Because one would say, how can water go bad? Well, water can't go bad, but what's in the water that's mixed in it can be really bad. So back to the water that's coming out of your faucet. There have been incidents around the country where a 10-minute shower, because of the amount of benzene and other toxins, trichloroethylene, which is one of the main problems in that area, becomes airborne when the water is atomized. So for those of you who aren't familiar, the water coming out of your shower head is ostensibly atomizing the water. It becomes airborne as it flows toward you, and the toxin scrubs from it and goes airborne into your bathroom. So this is why, while you're grid up and you're in a normal living condition, you should have a 70 CFM fan that blows that out outside, not into your room, not blows it around, not puts it up into your attic where it can come back down, but out a little thing that looks like a dryer vent out off of your roof or the side of your house and blows it outside so it's not building up inside of your bathroom. If you don't have one, at least open your window on the top, because remember, hot air rises, it will at least vent out and it will minimize the amount of damage. There was an incident in South Jersey about 15 years ago. I covered it on my show then, and people were getting the equivalent after testing to having smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day if they took a 15-minute shower. So it turns out that the cause of this contamination was that the township waterworks had purchased rock from an area on the Reading Prong, and the Reading Prong, which runs down from up along Reading in Pennsylvania down through southern New Jersey, has basically 4 fingers that are uranium deposits underneath of the ground, and it slowly degrades. This is why the area has been treating their homes for years for radon and checking to make sure that there was no radon contamination. So what happened was they took rock that was contaminated with the radioactive material. They were actually passing that off into the water, and then the water was sloughing that off. Well, they were using the shower and other means, and it was releasing it into the atmosphere trapped inside of the house. This is a very common problem. This is why they abate radon in houses, especially in basements and in newer houses that are very tight. They use systems to evacuate the radon gas out of the house. So all that said and done, this is not some big conspiracy. It can be simply a series of small incidents that come together to create a problem. By the time you find out, though, it is too late. And that's why you have to do things to take effort to protect yourself. So filtration is one. One of the things that I always recommend is a simple system that has the screw-on filters. You can buy one for $25 or less in Home Depot, Lowe's, online, etc. Either yourself or have a plumber cut them into your line. Put at least 3 in line. One would be a sediment filter. A second one would be an activated carbon filter. Possibly a third version that you might need, depending upon how bad your situation is and the area, the layout that you have at your place. So there'd be a sediment, an SED, a GAC, a CTO. These are all things that you need in order to make sure that you have the basics for what it takes to remove things like chlorine and chlorinamides, which chlorinamides are very difficult to get out. They last much longer. They are a lot of the things that are killing off your gut flora, which affects other parts of your health. So these are really important. That's your beginning stage. And then for what you drink and cook with, you should be very serious about looking at a system, an RO system. You can find them at very reasonable prices now. They have 5-stage reverse osmosis drinking water systems that are good for 75 gallons per day. That's pretty high. They filter down, as I said before, down to 0.0001, which a human hair is 50 microns, so that will give you an idea of how fine it is. They take out about 1,000 plus water pollutants, including some common things like chlorine and fluoride. Remember, though, that they won't get benzene out. Only the carbon filter does, and that's why you have to read the instructions very closely, or if you have someone install it, have them explain to you very, very clearly how often you need to change those filters. Have some in stock so that you can change them in the interval necessary without having all of the time down that you would have when your unit fails. So highly recommend it. There's a couple out there. iSpring RCC7 is a pretty good system. I know a lot of people who have used them with pretty good results. I have seen the post-use tests from qualified testing laboratories, and it does a pretty doggone good job. Remember, though, those test results are taken off of good water that has passed at least a minimum standards. When you get to the point where it's not passing the minimum standard, this may be the gap between you getting poisoned or just having a minimal negative effect. You would probably have to change out all the system filters in filtration units in a system like this, but at least you would have something. I also highly recommend looking not at using a screw-in filter that goes in between your shower head and the shower, but having a full house multiple carbon filtration system and get a really high quality organic carbon, hopefully from coconut husks, organic activated carbon filter, maybe two or three in a row, because it's all about dwell time. Dwell time is how long that the contaminants are in contact with the filtration unit. So carbon does not so much block something by its size, it adheres to the units, to the contamination, and adheres to the unit itself, which would be the carbon filter. Then you toss it out and you replace it with a new one. So these are important. I don't want to finish this segment without touching, at least momentarily, on the other side of that, which is to talk briefly about the fact that you also need to be able to have a means to filter when you're out. If you're on the run, if you have a grid down situation, if you're camping, if you're hiking, I still highly recommend the Sawyer filtration system. It's actually referred to as a purification system. The reason for that is that it has ultra filtration. It goes down to 0.002 absolute micron. And you still have to couple that with some type of a carbon filter. And I really recommend the Rapid Pure filters. I actually sell both of them on my website. I don't sell many things because I'm not in the business of selling things, but I highly support them. I really respect the person who owns those two companies and how they operate. So I highly recommend both of them. Either find it online or find it through me on my store, survivalgear.com. So one way or another, get one, have them. You can even use them in the house in lieu of boiling. And the final point is, if you are going to boil water in order to make it safe, at least reasonably safe, remember a couple of things. Filtration does not remove things. It just makes them inert. And only so much of it becomes inert. And the longer you boil it, the more effective it is, but it's never going to be 100% effective. Whatever was in it, if it is a biological, will be dead, but still floating there. So you may get a little free protein. But the problem is, if there are volatile organic chemicals or volatile inorganic chemicals like benzene and other things, those will become airborne because most of them boil off at below 158 degrees. So they're going to become airborne in your home, going back to the same problem you have with radon, which is those poisons get trapped inside of your home. In a perfect world, you boil a large pot of water outside. If you don't have that perfect opportunity, at least open the window and turn on a fan and suck that air out, because you will take it out of your water and instead you will inhale it into your lungs, and it could even be worse than if you had just intaken it in liquaceous form. So that'll be that for this segment. Thanks for listening. That's a pretty doggone big deal.